Just Me, a place to be me, where you get to experience life. Life is a journey, not a guided tour. If you want the rainbow, you have to go through the rain.
Hey, welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for joining us in this next episode. We are going to continue on from our last topic of understanding beauty, what beauty means to us and what beauty means to what we've grown up to understand it to be, but more importantly, how our core values interpret our understanding of beauty. So last week we discussed, we had some information from Miss Tracy, Miss Sharina, and myself about what were some experiences, what were some stories, what were some memories that really shaped our idea of beauty when we were growing up. Miss Tracy and Miss Sharina and I recalled things about our hair, you know, the presentation about what we look like as far as our hair. We've also explored different things around skin color, around features that you can't necessarily change, but how different things in our life from our caregivers, from the interactions that we've had with peers, have all impacted our idea and specific concepts of beauty. But just to recap briefly, we spoke about initially core beliefs, and core beliefs are stories, statements, opinions, rigid ideas that we have been inundated in our own personal lives in order to that really shape a specific concept. And 9 times out of 10, it shapes how we see ourselves, it shapes how we see others, it shapes how we see the world, and it shapes how we see our future. So someone who has been inundated with the idea that, you know, sports will be the way to get out of this hard life that you've experienced or challenges, and will be a financial financial stepping stone for that person, will have a lot more effort and put a lot more effort into sports. Same thing with something else, maybe that someone else is experiencing. So with all that being said, last week we talked about beauty and what that looks like. How do our previous experiences, how do our opinions, how do our stories that we've all experienced from our caregivers growing up, and a caregiver does not have to be mom, doesn't have to be dad. It could be whoever provided you with any type of shelter, any type of food, any type of security, safety and security. What types of stories we got from them, what type of experiences, their opinions, their ideas, how that shaped our idea of what beauty was, and how we navigate our own self-esteem, how we navigate our interactions with others, how we show up in the workplace, and how we feel comfortable with ourselves. So with that being said, we also took it to the streets, and we asked a couple of other individuals that we know about their core values and about how their core values have been molded into truly understanding their ideas of beauty. So today we have Miss Tanisha. We have Miss Majesty. We have Miss Naya. And we have Miss Jasmine. Welcome, ladies.
Hello.
Hi. Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to start things off by asking some questions. All right. So thinking about, ladies, some of the experiences that you guys have had. What were some of those experiences when you guys were growing up as far as rigid ideas, opinions, practices from any type of caregivers? What was truly instilled during your childhood around the idea of beauty?
I guess I'll go first.
All right, Ms. Naya.
Thank you. So growing up as a child, beauty was, it was obtainable for me and my sister. Beauty was also looked at as something that you could be strong and beautiful. In my household, I was in a military household. So my mom was in the army. My dad was also doing military services as well in his past. So beauty was also something that we were taught as a young age. It's okay to be beautiful. And beauty looked like us going to the beauty shop every 2 weeks. If my mom or my sister wasn't doing my hair, they always made sure that we had, you know, nice clothes and things that made us feel beautiful and made us make sure our self-esteem was high. We always, you know, were in the church, making sure that we had connections there in school and with each other. So family and beauty kind of play hand in hand. You know, my siblings, we would tell each other that, you know, you look nice today or you look beautiful, or our parents would make sure that they told us how beautiful we were. Even some days if we didn't believe it ourselves. I believe anything that my family could have done for me or my siblings, they made sure it could happen, and definitely made sure that we had an idea of beauty and we never felt like it wasn't unreachable for us.
And thank you for that. Absolutely. What about Miss Jasmine or Majesty or Tanisha?
Yeah, I can say that as far as beauty, in my childhood, it was a really big deal, that how we presented ourselves was, I wouldn't say professional, but you had to look like something. They wanted you to look like you were taken care of. I remember my grandma said, don't go walking around looking all motley and stuff, like nobody's caring for you. So that was a really big thing in my household. And it was important to dress a bit modestly so that, especially as African-American women, you know, our bodies grow differently. We have hips, our shapes and all that. And so I remember my family try to protect me from the world and all the pressures that can have by watching how I dress and being mindful with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm glad that you made, you acknowledged that, as far as just how you develop genetically differently as an African-American woman, and that's okay, but it means that some of the narrative is going to be a little different. What about Tanisha or Majesty?
I'm thinking of my childhood. I don't think it was emphasized as much in my household in the manner as they expressed, but kind of, okay, I guess I'll say with being feminine, I was always an athlete and played sports. So early on, it was girls wear dresses and skirts. And outside of that, my mom would, if I didn't like the clothes she wanted me to wear, she wouldn't buy it, which was kind of frustrating. So early on, they emphasized what my mom pretty much, or my grandma's, is like, oh, you need to put on this skirt or dress. But no one ever asked, are you comfortable when you talk about body types? Because I've always been really skinny. So no one talked about, are you comfortable in this dress or skirt? And also, like, we were big on relaxers, so everyone's texture was different. So my family always put an emphasis on thin hair, which I don't know why they did it, but that's something they did as well.
And Majesty, no, thank you for bringing that different narrative into this conversation, because absolutely, that is the whole point of this conversation, is to what we have been inundated with and taught when we were younger definitely has an impact on how we view ourselves and how we view beauty. So yeah, like you said, no one really asked you, you know, what do you feel comfortable with? It was kind of just assumed that this is what it is, and this is what it means, and to be pretty, or, you know, this is the type of look that you need to sustain or uphold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And one last thing I would add is that my parents divorced when I was a kid. So I think because of how my mom, the resentment or the dislike she had towards my dad, a lot of features of his that I had, or his, that side of my family, she always, she'll just make comments like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So big lips, big nose, that was also a very emphasized thing during my childhood.
Thank you so much for being comfortable and vulnerable enough to say that, because I think that a lot of our listeners have experienced not exact, but maybe similar narratives. And that's the whole point of even having this conversation, is to kind of unpack all of this stuff. So thank you so much. Miss Tanisha?
Okay, so I grew up in a Christian household. And so a lot of the things that I was taught, or the narratives, was around, you know, the Bible and what the Bible says about beauty. You know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. I went to this like young girl empowerment type of thing at church, like every Saturday, and we would do like talk about like proper etiquette and you know, how to dress and things like that, as a Christian, and all those types of things. And then at home with my mom, you know, she would also emphasize those you know, those scriptures and things like that from the Bible. And so that was always something, you know, that was, you know, kind of on the forefront of my mind, you know, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and things like that. And so it was, like I said, I got that in all those, you know, kind of spaces. And so it was really nothing, I guess, negative about, you know, beauty, kind of when I was growing up. Like I said, it was kind of just always pushed, you know, no matter what, you know, you may be feeling or what society may say, it kind of goes back to, you know, that the scriptural context that, you know, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So that's what I remember, you know, a lot.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for sharing that part of your life with us. And to kind of piggyback onto the next question, how do you feel like some of these comments, experiences, narratives when you were growing up, and it could be in the household and it could also be at school, how do you think any of these narratives impacted you as a child? Ms. Nye, can you go first?
I sure can. I think it impacted me in a positive way as a child. Kind of piggybacking off of Jasmine and Majesty, I feel like I kind of lived the best of both worlds. I was a girly girl one day, and then I took a total 360 and went to playing every sport imaginable to the world, but still being able to, still having that family dynamic to let me know, okay, you can be a tomboy and still be beautiful. You can still have those beautiful attributes and things like that about you. So I think it impacted me, gave me a really wonderful childhood. I joke with my mom all the time. When I was a child, we have this like feature about us, and our feet look a little bit different from the whole entire world. So when I was in like elementary school or middle school, my self-esteem used to be extremely low, and I always wanted to wear sneakers. I never wanted to wear flip-flops or sandals because I didn't feel like asking questions or getting teased and things like that. But since it's such a predominant trait on my mother's side, I learned to, you know, love myself, and I learned the benefits, and I got my self-esteem raised a lot from talking with my mom and my aunt because they dealt with it their whole life. So just little things like that, I think, really, you know, impacted my childhood and really gave me a great childhood, I guess.
Awesome. Okay. What about you, Miss Jasmine?
I have to say, I agree as well. I feel like my childhood was very positive. I will say a lot of things I will mention is about clothes, because that was my biggest struggle. It did kind of invoke some sneakiness in me, because I was wondering, like, why can't I wear this when I want to wear it? And so I remember specifically, I think I was in third grade, and I wanted to wear this Raven Simone skirt. And my parents were like, "You're not wearing that skirt." And I was like, "I want to wear it." And so me and my brother get outside, walk into the bus stop. I put on the skirt over my jeans. And so somewhere there is a picture of me in a yearbook with a skirt over my jeans with these little heels that I wanted to put on. So I will definitely say, when I was told no, I wanted to be sneaky and do whatever I wanted to do.
Yes. Yeah. So there was some exploration going on as a child.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Ms. Majesty?
I was trying to think. I don't think it impacted me as much as a child outside of the, you know, narratives as a tomboy or something like that. But I think it affected me more during my adolescent years of where you're hitting puberty and all of that type of stuff. But by that point, I was kind of into fashion. So I've always had my own style with clothes that I was comfortable wearing. So outside of, how can I put it? I don't know. I was just comfortable with being different or wearing what I like wearing. Or if I thought I looked good or felt good in it, I didn't really care about what someone else said.
And I like the way you shared that moment, because sometimes you can have two siblings living in the same household and they experience the same situation completely different. So where you embrace that, you know what, I have these ideas and thoughts from my grandmother and my mom about, you know, what I should wear. And even though they didn't ask me how comfortable I felt, I still have this own idea of what my own idea of what I want to do. Whereas if a sibling was raised in that same household and environment, they may have, you know, had the same experience, but interpreted completely different. So,
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what about you, Miss Tanisha?
As a child, I can kind of relate to Majesty, because I had the, you know, idea that, you know, everything that, you know, God made was beautiful. You know, I was made in his image. I basically was okay with, you know, kind of being me, you know, dressing like me. You know, I would have, you know, doubts sometimes, you know, especially in school, kind of, you know, looking at others and, you know, things like that. But I would kind of go back to that idea of, you know, just it's okay with being me, because, you know, I am, you know, made the way that God, you know, made me. So that was kind of how my childhood was.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you so much for sharing that part of your life and experience, because I think that when we pull back all these layers and we identify how we grew up and some of the experiences that shaped us, we then began to understand, and this is for our listeners as well, we then began to understand how we go about treating ourselves, our self-talk, the positive things we say about ourselves, the negative things that we say about ourselves are all stemming from what we experienced in our childhood. What that looks like as far as beauty, what that looks like as far as, oh, that's right versus that is wrong. And so a lot of times we as human beings don't really process those things because we feel like, oh, well, that was in the past. But a lot of the things in our past creep up, all right, creep up into our present, into our future. So, okay, okay, good deal, good deal. I think we're going to take...
I was taking notes on you ladies as y'all was making y'all comments, and it's amazing though, like how the dress and the hair, you know, the look, that part kind of came up in everybody's story, and to know, like, as a parent, that some of the beliefs or the values that your parents put on you come from what, you know, their own experience. So if your mother was all in the mirror, then more likely your mother's going to be all in the mirror, and she's going to try to get you all in the mirror. If your mother was a tomboy and your mother was a tomboy, it's comfortable. She's more comfortable with you being a tomboy and you able to find your beauty. So just to hear y'all stories kind of come together and knowing the dynamics of the four of you, y'all don't have any children at this point. How do you think you're going to put that on your children? Do you see you bringing some of that stuff to the children that you'll have in the future in any aspects? And regardless if you got your mama feet, Miss Naya, how you gonna help your feet get those feet?
I feel like personally for me, the ideas of parenting in the future, I think I'm gonna take a lot of what I learned in my childhood and just kind of mix it to what I know about myself today and how I view beauty. You know, a lot of times I think people get wrapped up in, like you said, beauty just being something that is physical and on the outside. But as I've grown up and, you know, everything that I've learned that it's just as much in the inside as well. So I think for me personally, I would really take a stand to make sure that my children understand that beauty is not just the physical, but it is that inside factor. And there are different parts of beauty. What one person might think is beautiful, the other person might not think. But I know for me, and my future kids, I will make sure that they understand and they have that opportunity to see what beauty is for them and, you know, kind of support them on that journey and try not to, you know, drown them with my views and drown them with my thoughts. I can kind of push them along and give them that encouragement, but I don't want to overshadow them with my ideas of beauty because it may be eventually different from what they're going to seek when they get older and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? Go ahead, Miss Jasmine.
I was just going to say something that I think Miss Tanisha mentioned that was really important to me as well was how her family used faith, and my family did that as well. And so that's really going to set the foundation for me, I feel like, in parenting, is using my faith to help them understand who they are, you know, through that. And then also being able to explain to them a little bit more why we do the things. So why do we want to show up and look presentable? Why? What can happen if we look this way, or what can happen if we look the opposite? So explaining more so instead of putting so much pressure on looking good all the time or having it all together.
I agree with Naya as well, but I think I will also, when it comes to the standard of beauty, but I'll also emphasize individuality amongst them and other people. And I'll also make sure we decolonize what we think beauty is, or what how it's supposed to look, with the straight hair or light skin, or, you know, all of those type of things. So I'll definitely try to not program a child that way. But when it comes to the standard of beauty, but really just encouraging them to be confident in no matter how they look or what they wear, and just embrace being their own individual self.
And I agree with Majesty, because I have kids, and what I do is allow them to have their own creativity as it relates to how they define beauty. And it works much better regarding a parent with supporting the kids in that form of fashion, because they will be more receptive to you as it relates to really establishing and maintaining that relationship with that person.
I think that one of the things that is so challenging, myself, I am not a parent, but I work a lot with children and adolescents and adults. One of the things that is a little challenging is for a parent is to acknowledge that, hey, I have this baggage. I know that I have healthy baggage and unhealthy baggage, but how do I support my child as they're growing up and not inundate them with my unhealthy baggage, but still recognize and prepare them for the world that is the reality. And it could just be my interpretation of reality, but at the same time, like you said, the ideas of beauty that may surround colonization, or the ideas of beauty that may surround what will get you further in a job versus not as further in a job. So different things of that. And those are very difficult stories and concepts to teach to a child and a teenager, because they're also going through so many other developmental stages. But I think that all of these different experiences that we've just discussed today pays homage to how difficult it is to really truly talk about beauty and teach that to our children, because there's so many different components and so many different aspects to what it really is. So I definitely hope that you guys, we're going to take a pause for the cause. And I definitely hope that you guys tune into our next episode where we continue this narrative, we continue this conversation, because honey, we gonna dive in deep to some different ideas of self-esteem, of self-confidence, of parenting, of dating, okay? So definitely tune in next week, because we are going to give all the tea and all the experience, all right? So until next time, take care of yourself.
Thank you so much for listening to Just Me Therapy podcast. Bye. If you are seeking further one-on-one diagnoses, interventions, and treatment plans, please consider scheduling an appointment with an individual counselor at Journeys Counseling Center, located in Greensboro, North Carolina. Journeys can be reached at 336-294-1349. The mission of Just Me Therapy podcast is to use authentic conversations to uplift one's mind, body, and soul. The goal of Just Me Therapy is to offer affordable education and insight to individuals who experience financial barriers to accessing individualized behavioral health care services. With that being said, the information, including opinions, advice, and recommendations discussed in this podcast, are intended for individual, informational, and educational purposes only. Such information is not intended to substitute the recommendations of your own licensed therapist or healthcare professional. Although we are licensed behavioral health professionals, we are not your licensed behavioral health professional. As a result, the advice mentioned on this podcast should not replace the recommendations offered by your own qualified health professional.